And this is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, we'll be having a return appearance by musical satirist Roy Zimmerman. He was last here in April of last year, 2010, and he was playing the same venue. He's playing this time around. I believe it was the same Independent Media Center in Urbana-Champaign. They have lots of interesting and varied shows there. And he's going to be with us for the hour, live in our studio. And I'm looking forward to it. Hope you will be too. Stay tuned to Live and Local. That was a singer who goes by the name of Maritza, and from her album called Terra, she sings in what is a style known as fado, and this was a tune whose name I probably will mispronounce, Jamé Déchu, or something like that, and the translation, roughly, now it's left me. Yearning was always with me in the sound of my voice, that in its most ancient of fados, and made 1,000 verses about us, sapping my will through mockery without even hearing my lamentations. And it goes on from there, which is sort of the vein of fado, and it's amazing that it sounds so gorgeous, and she said does such a wonderful job with it, because it tends to be not the most uplifting of texts. But I love the music, and I love the sound of her voice, and so I thought I'd just sort of start the show off with a little of Maritza, which really has probably nothing at all to do with the guy who's going to be with us for
the
hour.
That's a tough segue, definitely.
Yeah. Top that there, Roy Zimmerman.
No, I'm not going to top it for sure. I was going to take a little left turn from that, maybe.
Yeah, probably. Although there was a line in there that I thought, maybe this is sort of the setup, sapping my will through mockery.
Oh, well, there you go. Is that possible, do you think, to sap someone's will through mockery?
Well, isn't that your goal, somewhat, now and then?
Yeah.
Well, Roy is a musical satirist, writes his own songs, and as it says here, about war, poverty, ignorance, bigotry, neoconservatism, homophobia, greed, lust, fear, and probably goes on from there.
Yeah, there's a big ellipsis at the end of that.
Yeah. It's probably should be fair warning to listeners that as it's been described elsewhere, Roy's songs do have a decidedly lefty slant. So you can be prepared to be entertained, no matter which side of various aisles you may be on. But just be prepared that if you think he's supporting your cause, you might or might not be right.
Well, a comment I get after shows a lot is, I disagree with everything you said, but I laughed anyway, which I love to hear.
Yeah. And of course, I'm sure that satirists of many kinds, although not of every kind, do always hope that you'll bring somebody around to whatever point of view you have. And I'm guessing that you're one of
those. It can't be the goal. That's the thing. It cannot be the goal, because it doesn't happen that often. I mean, people come to the shows wanting to be fed the things that they think already. That's just true. That's true of lefties and true of righties, but it happens every once in a while. Every once in a while, I'll get a note, an email or something saying, you've convinced me.
So why do you do it? Just to vent your spleen?
Well, it's, expression is important in its own right, I think, right? And, preaching to the choir is an important function, because I've been in a choir and, you know that you need to have the song sung to you before you can sing it back.
Well, Roy Zimmerman's going to be at the Independent Media Center in Urbana-Champaign tonight. At 7:30, and you can go to their website for information on ticket prices and how to get them, although generally you can just show up for their shows and you're fine, but it's ucimc.org. And Roy, I'm really grateful that you came in all the way from Lincoln, Nebraska.
That's where I played last night, yes.
And you still have a voice.
I do, yeah.
And your eyes are open.
Uh-huh. And I took a real nasty left turn in Quincy, which is a lovely town. I don't mean that. Quincy, Illinois, is a beautiful town.
You mean literally.
I mean actually, right. I experienced more of Quincy than I really cared to this morning.
And hence We didn't quite have you when we thought we did, but we have you in plenty of time.
Yes,
you're here.
I'm still panting.
Well, why don't we just launch off into a song?
Well, yeah, you know, I tour a lot. That's the thing. I'm always crisscrossing the country. And looking for the Tea Party, really looking for the Tea Party in their natural habitat, and you know, I think I finally found the place that they keep talking about. There's a place called Real America. I heard about it from a rich politician. It magically appears, especially in election years. Life is good in real America. It's like living with 1,000 Sarah Palins. You stroll Main Street hand in hand and take a ride to fantasy land. Let's go to real America. Happy meal, America, where we can be proud, we don't talk well. Meet me in real America, U.S. Steel America, at the corner of Norman and Rockwell. Things are real in real America. And up is down and Joe the plumber is a genius. They've got just 2 stoplights, and no one steals and no one fights for civil rights. Let's go to real America, Oldsmobile America. Shove the kids in the back seat and bring them along to real America. Good housekeeping, seal America, all done up in denim and gingham. Know who they got there, but I can tell you who's not there. Ain't none of them Ivy League elites, not a one of them San Francisco treats. Ain't none of them wine and tofu snobs, not a one of them Daily Show whack jobs. Ain't none of them corporate media sluts, not a one of them academia nuts. Ain't none of them friggin' francophiles, not a one of them New York non-Gentiles. I believe in real America, and so I vote against my economic interest. Let's go to real America, spin the big wheel, America. I can't tell you how happy I'd be if I'd get to go to real America, Norman Vincent Peale America, where Ronald Reagan is deified. In real America. Uh-huh. Real America. Well, duh. Where no one uses profanity, 'cause they're so full of Sean Hannity.
Just in case, just to test my memory, I mean, that song was testing my memory, because I know I've heard that song before, and I was trying to remember if I'd heard it on YouTube.
It's very possible.
Or some other place. No, I've heard it on, I believe it was the last song you did on this show last time you were here.
Oh,
okay. Because you scared the out of me before that last line.
I know, I pulled up short. I steered clear of the censors there.
Yeah, certain things you're not supposed to say.
Yes.
On the air, and actually, musical theater is a real land full. It's full of landmines as far as four-letter words go, and I've been surprised a couple times on the show.
Yeah, surprise is not something. Just know that I'm very sensitive to that.
Right. Well, I knew that. I did remember that.
Okay.
So I wasn't really worried about it. And then when that line came up. Well, anyway, when did you, Roy, this is Roy Zimmerman here is with us, a musical satirist, as you could probably tell from that song. I hope you could realize it was satire. when did you get started doing all this business?
Well, I've been writing funny songs since high school. I mean, since way back when, you know, and all through the 90s, I had a band called The Foreman, and we did political satire with in the folk era kind of format. And then, you know, since then, I've been solo. And so it's been 20-odd years, and they've been 20-odd years.
The Foreman, was it actually four men?
There were four men, but we spelled it F-O-R-E because, you know, the joke was, you know, here's like four golf guys doing songs about mining disasters and high seas plunder.
So it was political satire even at that point.
Yeah, it was during the Clinton era, you know, when there was actually plenty to talk about then, too.
Yeah, no shortage of...
yeah, right.
And does that mean that you were not so lefty then, or does he just provide
enough
fodder for jokes?
Well, it was very possible to satirize the Clinton era from the left as well. You know, there were a lot of my lefty friends who were very dissatisfied with what Clinton was doing then, too. Now we're in the Obama era, you know, and I'm finding no dearth of material now.
So did you bring some new stuff having to do with?
Well, sure.
That?
Of course, you know, there's stuff happening all the time. And well, I'll tell you what, I did a show in Tucson a couple of weeks after the shootings there, you know, right? And
with Gabrielle Giffords. And,
yes, exactly.
I'm trying to remember which shooting are we talking about?
Well, this was the mass one that involved her, exactly. And we hear encouraging news about her even this week that she's on the mend and so forth, which is great. And of course, you know, emotions were high there in Tucson at that time then too. And I was putting this song together, and it has more to do with the sort of violent rhetoric that surrounded that. You know, you remember there was a huge controversy about the rhetoric that came out about that, right? And particularly Sarah Palin and so forth too. And I, you know, I got to say that I have nothing but respect for Sarah Palin, because she's, you know, tall for her height, and she speaks English well for a foreigner, and she writes a lot of my material. But the thing that bugs me about her is that this self-victimization thing, right? This kind of like oh pity me, you know, thing that she does. Even yesterday, she was out there saying that same thing. And she does it, and Michelle Bachmann does it, and Glenn Beck does it, and all the people who are most responsible for the violent rhetoric in the first place are the ones who are decrying that sort of victimization. We targeted your district, and we called you out by name. We took positions around your door, we shouted, ready, aim. We publicized a picture of your seat behind crosshairs. And to the victims of this tragedy, we send our thoughts and prayers. Aim high, we said, shoot straight, we said, go for the kill, we shout. We've got the enemy in our sights, we say, let's take him out. We want you armed and dangerous, our candidate declares. And to the victims of this tragedy, we send our thoughts and prayers. Now listen, I'm professing to teach a civics lesson with this here Smith & Wesson. Now let us pray for peace. Yes, this is war we semi-automatically repeat. And so, my friends, reload and don't retreat, but do retweet. We vomit violent rhetoric like drunken legionnaires. And to the victims of this tragedy, we send our thoughts and prayers. I want that Second Amendment remedy. And so I'm voting for Yosemite Sam. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. We can't be held responsible for every lunatic who hears us yelling kill, 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 and then does something sick. It's rap and heavy metal. Yeah, the blame is squarely theirs. And to the victims of this tragedy, we'll send our thoughts and prayers. The tree of liberty is watered with the tyrant's blood. Yes, so said Thomas Jefferson, or was it Elmer Fudd? The twi of Wibbity is watered with a tyrant's blood. For bloody insurrection, a true patriot prepares. And to the victims of that tragedy, we'll send our thoughts and prayers. Let's pass conceal and carry, so Curly, Moe, and Larry can act like Dirty Harry. Now let us pray for peace. Whack-a-doo, whack-a-doo, whack-a-doo. Do a whack, do a whack, do a whack. Next time a crazy loner shoots some people in the head, don't start attacking us by quoting things we actually said. This ain't no time for politics, you commie liberal. Where's your decency? Pray for peace and see that the victims of this tragedy deserve our thoughts and prayers. And by the victims of this tragedy, we mean us.
You know, just about to congratulate you on something that I think Tom Lehrer said about you somewhere along the line, that when you actually rhyme.
Yes.
Until the last line.
Until the us, you mean, or what?
Until the us, yeah.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Well, see, that just stood out in stark relief then, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. So were you the class clown in school?
No, I was quite reserved, actually. I had funnier friends than me. So I was content to get a quip in there every once in a while.
And how did the quips fall? Did they fall flat? Did people... go along? Did you get thrown out of class?
No. I was just sort of the tag along guy. I was like the Seth Rogen sort of character in most of those movies now, right? You know, where he's sort of tagging along and making a little, you know, a snipe every once in a while. That was me then. I've you know, since I've gone solo, I'm the only person around, so I've got to make the jokes.
Well, I was wondering if that's an outgrowth of the tag-along sort of thing. Well, you know, y'all don't want me, so I'll just do my thing by myself.
I see. Oh, okay.
I'm asking.
I didn't know this was like amateur psychology hour, but...
Unless
you're a professional, I don't know, but...
Well, I'm a professional. I've got the microphone, so...
That's right.
And I'm paid to have it, so in that sense, yeah, I can ask various questions.
Well, then you must be right.
No, I just wonder things.
I see. Okay. All right.
And
good.
All I can do is ask questions.
Well, go with that then. Let's go with that. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm asking you.
Oh, I see. I was trying to turn the tables there.
No, you can't do it.
I can't do it. All right.
They tried to do that yesterday in the interview with a group called Amazon. And, you know, the director was correcting all the things that I said, probably because I was wrong. And then one of the group members was interviewing the director, and I thought, man, this is great. It's the easiest gig I ever had.
I think, you know, psychologically or whatever, I don't want to get too deep into that, but, you know, I grew up in a very conservative household, and I discovered my nascent politics, you know, only later, really, you know, when I started putting things together, and they come naturally to me. You know, it's just sort of how I react to the world, and the songs are how the world spills out of me then, too. So when I read a newspaper article, I'm always thinking, what are the rhymes there? What are the hooks there? That's kind of how I naturally form my opinion of the news.
The song that you just did, you know, as you said at the outset, this violent rhetoric was in the news, and people said, well, it's their fault because, you know, the Sarah Palin type is their fault because they said this. Is that song protesting, if I can use that word necessarily, the rhetoric itself or the failure of people to take responsibility for their rhetoric?
I think it's
both?
The hypocrisy. That's where the humor always lies then, too. And that, you know, that certainly cuts both directions, left and right. You know, hypocrisy is rife in politics no matter what. And as as Sarah Palin and others pointed out, it wasn't just the Republicans who were responsible for that kind of rhetoric. That's in politics all the time. It's always a war. You're always fighting on the front lines and this and that. You know, there are always those metaphors to be had. But it was that they would come out and say, for instance, when Sarah Palin came out and said that the crosshairs that she'd put on a brochure, you know, were actually like surveyor's marks. Then, you know, yes, exactly. Then you can hear an audible sigh go up and go, oh, you know, come on, really?
Drone.
Right, exactly. You know, so you can, here. I mean, here's the thing. If you're a Sarah Palin, and let's say you are, you want your words to have effect. You want the words that you say to take effect in people's lives and to have an effect on people, right? You know, and so,
well, if you're a politician, you want that to
exactly.
Be,
yeah. You hope that what you say has an impact. And so, you know, when something you say might be construed the wrong way, might easily be construed the wrong way, then what you've done is the impact you've had, I think, is to crazy up the crazy people who are out there already anyway. That's what I think. This guy was a crazy loner. Jared Lee Loeffner was crazy. You know, is a crazy loner, of course, right? And it's not Sarah Palin's fault that he's a crazy loner. But if you fill the air with that kind of stuff, it's like taking that crazy loner into a room all by themselves and blindfolding them and turning them around 15 times and saying, "You are alone. It's you know, there are conspiracies." There, I've had my soapbox.
Yeah.
Back on my music box.
Well, not to point out a possible connection here, but I think we were just talking about the idea that you became something of a loner yourself.
But
and,
not a.
And you're sitting here in a padded room.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's your argument for gun control right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Roy Zimmerman is my guest here on Live and Local. He's going to be playing at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center in the old post office building next to Lincoln Square Mall tonight at 7:30. And always does a good show. And I missed the last live one.
Yeah.
And I have to miss it again tonight. I'm really
sorry. Oh, dang. Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
But I get, you know, I get this. Speaking of loners, I get you to myself.
That's right. You do.
Right here.
Yeah.
Along
well,
with the 7,000 others who are listening.
These mics are live, aren't they? I mean,
these mics are live.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right.
Yeah,
thanks for sharing me then. Yeah.
Yeah. 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people listening right
okay,
now.
Okay. Excellent.
If we haven't scared away 3,000 of them, I don't know.
Don't be scared.
No, it's not scary. Do you ever, most of the songs I think I've heard you do tend to take aim at politicians or political points of view. Do you also just take deliberate aim at social issues outside of politics or other issues outside of politics?
Sure, but it isn't too long before some of those social issues become political, right? As soon as you've got a group of people that's worried about that issue, then that group of people becomes political. They're going to advocate for their issue. They're going to go through the political channels to make it happen and so forth then too. So yeah, you know, I mean, I don't do too many songs about love and marriage, you know. But I do songs. Well, I'll give you an example. How about that? I'll give you a song. This is a song that came from a visit I had to the Creation Museum. The Creation Museum in Northern Kentucky. This is a $27 million facility that's put together to tell the scientific story of the creation as told in Genesis. And some of your listeners may be skeptical. I can sense some crackling skepticism coming back through the headphones here. So here's a little lesson in creation science.
God made the world in 7 days. Well, that's 1 week to be specific. That's what I call scientific. Say hallelujah, sing his praise. 4,042 B.C. On Monday, August 27, he made the earth and sky and heaven. Then he punched out at 5:03. Then he made Adam and then Eve. A garden for them to inhabit. The apple right where Eve could grab it. And I got proof because I believe creation science 101. In the beginning it begun. And you are just beginning to educate yourself when you shun evolution. Then Cain and Abel he begat. And they begat all of the rest to us, which means they must have been incestuous. I'm gonna have to pray about that. There might be sinners in this class who might believe in Charles Darwin. I guess that's just their loss and our win, because I'm gonna flunk their ass if you make Genesis your text. You'll laugh at Darwin and what he sees to be the origin of species, because he's just plain oversexed. Creation science 101. You ain't no monkey's great-grandson. You got a research paper due about the 50 reasons to shun evolution. Ha ha ha! banjo, that old jive about survival of the fittest. That notion don't pass the test. 'Cause look at me, I'm still alive. God made the world just like it is. He made the fossils just to tease us. Old bones to test our faith in Jesus. Yeah, this'll all be on the quiz. Creation Science 101. Now, Arma, get your homework done. Because when this semester's through, it's straight A's for students who shun evolution. The kids get such an education when they shun. The heretical theory of the development of life on Earth over millions of years by means of spontaneous genetic mutation.
Creation Science by Roy Zimmerman, sung here live in our studios on Live and Local. You can go out and hear him live in downtown Urbana tonight at 7:30 at the Independent Media Center. And that was one of the songs I heard when I knew you were coming to the Independent Media Center last April, meaning April of 2010.
Yeah.
And I think somebody pointed out, or maybe I just went exploring on YouTube and found all these videos there and read somewhere that your videos get massive numbers of hits and you quite freely put them up there.
Yeah.
Know, with great regularity.
Well, it's been a wonderful, amazing kind of a boon for, you know, for getting the songs out there and, you know, for having people know about me and so forth. And Creation Science, that song made the front page of YouTube, made the kind of featured section. It's got 1,070,000 hits now or something.
And how many comments, I wonder? About as many comments,
23,000, I think,
really?
And counting. Yeah, I mean, but they're not counting. They're not commenting on the song per se, or even my performance. They're commenting on the issue. It's the hot button issue. So there are raging arguments that go on there between evolutionists and creationists.
So you do get on these comments, you get arguments back and forth. So obviously,
yeah,
both sides are hearing
your
song.
Sure. Any 2 week, you know, given 2 week period, you'll find two different people just duking it out there. They'll go on there and put 1,000 comments each. You know.
And how many of these do you read?
I check in with it. I'll put it that way. You know, I mean, with 23, that you can't really write. But you know, I do check in with it, right? There have been some interesting points made.
Do you ever chime in the discussion, or you just let the song be?
Pretty rarely, because the song says it. As far as I'm concerned, that's my statement on it. You know, I think I'll only chime in if somebody makes an unfair comment about someone else. Mm. You know, then I'll come to somebody's defense. That's kind of my entry point.
I've noticed that. I mean, I'm much more often on YouTube than I am on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Facebook commentary, I just can't. Personally can't abide it. I just don't understand why are we having this non-conversation. But you can have conversations on YouTube, and I do notice that every once in a while, whoever mediates these things, there must be somebody, will remove a comment that somebody has made, or I don't remember who it was I was looking at, but somebody had made apparently some very negative comment, and the comment on there was that there are so many negative comments about this negative comment that we took it off. But if you want to read it, you can go here.
Well, that's the person who put the video up has that power. So
Is that how that goes?
Yeah, if I see somebody, for instance, if there are comments that are rife with profanity or whatever for no reason or whatever, I'll take them off there. I don't want that on there, you know. But if somebody's making a good point, whichever side they're on, I'll certainly leave it.
So that's up to the poster.
It's up to the poster. Yeah, that's the kind of power they've got over that, yeah.
Having never posted a YouTube video,
uh-huh.
I think I'm on YouTube, somebody told me, but it wasn't my fault.
You should go Google yourself or YouTube yourself. Search yourself there.
Yeah, well, if I Google myself, it's just as likely that my gig right here is the first thing that'll pop up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Not a bad gig. That's why some people call me a celebrity. Other than that, I really haven't a clue, and not your.
How are you bearing up under that?
I'm
pressure.
All right. I'm all right.
The paparazzi can be really a pain. I understand.
Well, see, this is the advantage of being a radio personality.
Okay.
Is that most people have no idea what you look like, and you leave the building, and unless they recognize your voice, which does sometimes happen.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard people say, "Oh, hello, you're so and so," and I say, "Well, how'd you know?" And well, I heard you talking.
And then they run after you with tape recorders.
Not so far.
Okay. All right.
Not so far. What do you have next for us?
Well, I'll do a new song that's a song about a Supreme Court decision. Because I write some songs about Supreme Court because they're rocketing up the charts pretty much. And this is about this decision of Citizens United, the decision where the Supreme Court decided to award First Amendment rights to corporations.
Oh, yes.
As if they were individuals. Okay. You've been living in the shadows, whispering in the back room where no one can hear a word. Oh, Exxon, child, I just friended you on Facebook 'cause the Citizen United say your voice should be heard. Oh, yes, they do. You know it should. 'Cause Exxon, you're a person too. You got all the rights that people do. You spend millions on elections like a real person would if they could. We're Citizens United for corporate personhood. Walmart, you're a person too. Yeah, the Bill of Rights was written for you. You sent children into sweatshops like a real person should. Oh, yes, you do. You know it is. He said he would. Citibank, darling, and Halliburton, baby. Soon you'll be married and raise a family. Oh, yeah. And Dow Chemical. Are you coming to my birthday party? 'Cause the Citizens United say all people should be free. Oh, yes, they do. And that includes AT&T. Oh, yes, it does. Not to mention BP. Oh, the Citizens United put the mark in democracy.
You do have a knack for the closing line zinger. I have noticed. It's Roy Zimmerman here on Live and Local. Just while I was listening to that song, I find myself as a personality on a public station, that is not supposed to be left or right or whatever anybody
else. Not supposed
else
to have personality.
Say about well, not yeah, not. I mean, as I'm not supposed to take a stand.
Correct.
On things.
Yes.
But I can have people like you who do take a stand.
That's
I can
right.
ask you questions. But I do wonder how you keep from writing angry songs, because a lot of the things that you sing about can be really hard to stomach sometimes, depending upon your point of view, I guess.
Well, yeah, and they are angry songs. I mean, I think that's true of a lot of my songs, and maybe not all of them, but there is anger that comes through the humor. And I know that I feel angry about these things, and that's how it comes out of me. So some songs may sound more angry. They may be more aggressive or assertive or maybe more on the nose, less satirical, less kind of around the horn, and more just a straight out statement of what I believe or whatever. But in general, the songs that I'm the way that I express that anger is just by joking about it.
I was thinking too, listening to that song, if you just ignore the words and listen to your guitar playing, for one thing, you're a really good guitarist. And people can sort of miss that if they're not paying attention.
Well, thank you. I mean, that keeps it fun for me then too, to vary the musical styles and to learn, you know, new guitar riffs and write songs that I have to learn to play. You know, after I've written them, I have to learn to play them and sing them at the same time.
But it's also very nice music just on its own, where you could, and you, what listeners can't see is that you're smiling a lot of the time when you're singing. Sometimes it's a little bit of a smirk, but, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and you know what I mean, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this anger, as you say, you know, there is anger in some of these songs. It's hiding behind the smile and the pretty melody and the nice guitar work and so on. Why not, you know, if you believe all this stuff that you're putting in songs, why not just get up and make speeches?
Well, this is
why,
how I do that.
Why music?
I think, you know, I think I'm doing that because I think that that's how it comes out of me, you know. I'm not well suited to just getting up and without the guitar to hide behind and either just doing straight stand-up comedy or making a, you know, a soapbox statement of some kind. Other people are much better at that than I am. But I do hope to contribute to the conversation, the national conversation about these issues then too, you know, and maybe provide some kind of talking points, maybe, you know, a way to articulate something that somebody may not have thought of.
I was trying to think the other day, when knowing that you were coming on here, that whether I could think of any musical satirists on the right. Are there?
Yeah.
Am I just forgetting some? It seems like most of the folk singers and satirical singers have tended to be on the left over the many years that these things
yes.
have existed.
Yeah. I mean, we used to have a name for right-wing satire. We called it cruelty because that tends to be, you know, because the victim of the satire is the powerless in that case, you know, right? And so most people, you know, and so, yes, there are right-wing satirists. There's a guy who did, you know, famously did that song, Barack the Magic Negro. Yeah, exactly. You know, and Rush Limbaugh took that one and ran with it, you know. And this guy continues to write these song parodies. But I can't think of anyone who's funny, you know, because the humor gets lost a little bit in the vitriol.
But I wonder if, I mean, as you said at the beginning of the show, probably most of the people who come to your shows, you're preaching to the choir, and they think it's funny, even though you said sometimes there are people on the right who don't agree with anything you sang about, but they thought it was funny anyway.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, you know, if whoever this guy was that wrote that song, if he goes and does gigs at the, you know, the equivalent to the Independent Media Center, wherever that is,
yeah.
and sings this song, do those folks...
The Dependent Media Center.
Yeah, do they think it's funny? You know, maybe it's just not funny to you.
Yeah, that, I'm sure that's true. I'm sure that there is a whole crowd of people who think that's funny, you know, and there are comedians. Andrew Dice Clay comes to mind, you know, during the 80s comedy boom, you know, as someone who gathered whole audiences full of people who were laughing at the cruelest kind of stuff you could imagine.
He didn't survive, though.
Well, no. You mean comedically? No.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
And at some point it seems like, I don't remember what happened to him, but it seems like people had enough.
Yeah,
or
it's a shock
like
jock
that.
Thing. You know, that's the equivalent there. It's a shock jock kind of a thing. You know, and Dennis Miller was, you know, famously kind of abdicated to the dark side. And his, you know, his humor now is quite right wing.
Hmm. Well, I noticed he was one of the people that you list as having shared the stage with.
Yes,
Was that before or after his conversion, so to speak?
He was still perceived at that point as being kind of a snarky liberal kind of a guy. But even at that point, I could tell there was something, you know, kind of reactionary about him.
Hmm. We mentioned Tom Lehrer at the outset here is you know, probably one of the most famous musical satirists before you. Are there others that you have admired or that you consider your forebears in this line of work?
Sure. I mean, in the folk era, the folk kind of realm, there's Phil Oakes, you know, who was very active during the late 60s in the anti-war movement in particular. And most of his songs were not funny. Most of his songs were really lefty firebrand, you know, like right on the nose kind of songs. But he wrote some very, very witty, funny songs, Draft Dodger Rag and Outside of a Small Circle of Friends and some very funny songs. So he's an influence. But as you mentioned then, too, the musical theater influences are there as well. So, you know, I'll hearken back to some of the political satire of Cole Porter and the Gershwin brothers, and you know, all of them kind of dabbled in political statements as well.
Although probably most of their those songs, it's a lot more obscure or a lot harder to find the politics in their songs.
In most of their material, I'll put it that way then, too. But, you know, like Cole Porter, just as a for instance, you know, wrote the show called Silk Stockings. It was all about the Cold War, you know, and in there are some definite snipes at the Soviet system. And, you know, right, it's pretty out there.
Do you ever do other people's songs?
Pretty rarely, because I'm writing so many of my own, you know, that's kind of my job, I think, is to get those songs out there.
And do you ever write songs that just aren't satirical?
Sure. My wife and I write, you know, country songs together and I do some love songs and some songs about marriage and family and all that too. But this is the act.
This is the
act I'm touring, yeah.
So I mean, do you ever throw in some of those songs during the touring act?
Every once in a while I'll put a love song to my wife in there because I want to.
Is that when she's there or when she's not there?
She could be there. She could be listening later on or something. Yeah, it's for her. It's all done for her anyway. Mm. The whole thing is done for her.
Is she a musician?
She's an amazing flat-picking guitarist. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you ever go on the road together?
She never performs.
No?
But we do tour together sometimes, which is
wonderful. Well, that's what
wonderful.
I meant. Why didn't she perform?
She doesn't have the bug, I guess. You know, I'm bugged enough for both of us, I guess.
Apparently so. Well, you know, I'm glad you're bugged enough that you've come to our community at least a couple times since I've been doing this show, which has only been about not even quite 2.5 years yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking with Roy Zimmerman here, who's going to be at the Independent Media Center in Urbana tonight. Whoops, just whacked the microphone there at 7:30. And for information on how to get tickets to that show and lots of the other shows that they have going on, including, I might as well mention this since I've got it going here, there's going to be a show on Saturday night there featuring some independent, I'm not sure what kind of bands they call them, alt-rock bands, alt-folk bands. Eva Hunter Band is one, Ghost Town Gramophone, An Evening With Your Mother, which is a trio of high school kids, actually, and a group called the Palace Flophouse. They're supposed to be quite good.
That's a great name.
Song.
I love that name.
An Evening With Your Mother, uh-huh. Yeah. And so we're actually going to be talking about that in more detail and hearing examples from all three of those bands on tomorrow's Live and Local, so you can stay tuned for that. That'll happen tomorrow from 12 to 1. How about some of the other folk singers who maybe weren't always doing satire? And I'm thinking specifically of a group that I've been hearing a lot of lately, who is Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Only because Peter and Paul, now that Mary is gone as of a year ago, were in our listening area in Springfield a couple of weekends ago, I guess. And I did an interview with Peter. And I, you know, I've loved their music ever since I was a kid.
Sure.
And I was never really much aware that there was anything political behind it. And so as I was reading about it, I guess there is. So I was surprised when I did it was almost an hour's conversation with Peter Yarrow. And it was very, very hard to keep him talking about the music. It was all politics. Which took me by surprise because I didn't know there was that much behind all the folk songs.
They were very involved with the anti-war thing and before that with the civil rights movement then too. And they and some of their songs were gospel songs, you know, if I had my way, you know, that right, you know, these songs that had come from that gospel tradition, which definitely fed the civil rights movement then too. So they were very much aware of the place of music in social change. Yeah.
Peter commented, I think, in that interview that he thought one of the problems with various elements of society right now is that there isn't so much of that musical protest going on right now. Is he right about that?
No. And I take grave exception to that then, too. You know, the people of his ilk get that question all the time. Mm. What's, you know, where's all the political satire now? You know, or where's all the political music right now, you know? And often their answer is, well, you know, the times are different, or you know, they kind of buy into the question. But the answer is, it's out there. There's lots of it happening out there, particularly in the folk singer songwriter world and so forth. Then too, there's a real strong movement of political songs, but they're not breaking through on the radio. That's the thing, isn't it? Right? You know, in the people are thinking about the late 60s, early 70s, you know, when you could hear, I Ain't No Senator's Son or whatever, you know, and that was a hit song on the radio. Well, that isn't happening anymore so much.
Who are some of the others, other folks who are working now that you think are particularly good?
My good friend Ann Feeney out of Pittsburgh is great, and there's a duo called the Prince Mishkins, who they've played a lot here in town, and they have a presence here in town. If they ever come through again, please have them on. Their satire is hilarious.
I'm trying to think if I've seen the name and just missed it.
They haven't been around for a couple of years, around this town for a couple of years. So when they come back, definitely I'll give them a plug then too.
Yeah.
A young guy named Evan Greer, who's just coming up. And there are a lot of people that are doing great stuff.
Well, let's give another listen to Roy Zimmerman. What do you have in store for us
next?
Well,
I'll do a song. You know, I'll do song. People ask me where these songs come from. And sometimes it's a nice question. And I say bumper stickers because I believe in research. And there is the bumper sticker that you still see everywhere, the little yellow ribbon that says support our troops. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I began to think what that support must feel like to one of those troops. You got that yellow ribbon stuck on your H2. Thanks for the support. Memorial Day weekend, you threw a barbecue. Thanks for the support. I can feel the love 7,000 miles away. And I'm a patriot, as I was trying to say when you cut me short. Thanks for the support. I was gunning for Osama when you sent me for Saddam. Thanks for the support. And I just sat down to dinner. It's another can of Spam. Thanks for the support. And you say, complete the mission. And I say, count on me. 'Cause I don't even know what mission there might be to abort. The support. And you sent me here a third time, and my house was repossessed. Thanks for the support. Now my wife is in a trailer, but she sent a Kevlar vest. Thanks for the support. And I think of her only every time I bleed. Someday we will meet again at Walter Reed, the resort of last resort. Thanks for the support. And you hire those mercenaries who make eight times what I do. Thanks for that. And you dropped in on Thanksgiving with a turkey and a camera crew. Thanksgiving. And now you're giving guns to the ones who shot at me. The tank is full, but the strategy might be down the quarter. Thanks for the support. And I appreciate the surge. Thanks for the support. Another 20,000 voices to harmonize this dirge. Thanks for the support. And to the Democratic Congress who could have brought me home, who must have come down with a new Gulf War syndrome of some sort. Thanks for the support.
I die tomorrow, won't you ship me home at night? Thanks for the support. And if I have a funeral, make sure it's out of sight. Thanks for the support. In the final seconds, you've got a plan to win. It's cut those taxes and let Jesus put one in from half court. Thanks for the support. Thanks for the support.
Roy Zimmerman here on Live and Local, live in our Studio F at Illinois Public Media. I'm Kevin Kelly, and I appreciate your joining us on the show, and thanks to Roy for coming in and spending the hour with us. You can go hear him at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center tonight at 7:30. And here are some of the other folks you can go out and see and hear live, or other events you can go out and see and hear live in our listening area, starting tonight. It's Titanic the Musical, being put on by Community Players Theater in Bloomington. Tonight and tomorrow and Saturday at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2:30. In Decatur, it's a jazz played by a group called Momentum at Prairie Avenue Christian Church. That is 7:30 tonight. The Amy Mitchell Trio are at Emerald City Lounge in Champaign tonight at 9 o'clock. A couple of shows in Springfield. The Fake McCoys play Celtic and Americana at Cafe Andiamo. That's at 5 o'clock this evening. And then the John Conqueror Band, hoping I'm saying his name right, sorry if not, John, play blues at Walnut Street Winery. That's also Springfield tonight at 7 o'clock. Grassroots Revival play at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood, Kickapoo State Park there. That's 5:30 tomorrow night. The Springfield Theater Center presents a show called Mornings at 7 tomorrow night and Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Red Mask Players Children's Theater present King Arthur's Calamity at the Catherine Randolph Theater in Danville tomorrow and Saturday at 7 o'clock. The Sounds of Music Voice Studio, run by Deborah Myers-Dobbs, gives a recital tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at the Etc. Coffee House at the Wesley Foundation in Urbana on the U of I campus. The West Coast Blues Ensemble at the Iron Post tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. That's downtown Urbana. Followed at 9 o'clock by Emily Otness and Liesl Booth. And that's the calendar so far. There's lots more that we could have on it. Let us know about events you know about or are involved in. Write to me at willcalendar@illinois.edu. It's W-I-L-L calendar@illinois.edu. We have support today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. We probably have time for another song.
Oh, well, good. Okay, good. I want to say thank you for having me on here.
Oh, pleasure.
I do love the Independent Media Center. I love that place. And so, you know, if you've never been there, I'll say to your listeners, probably most of them have, right? Because it's, you know.
Probably most of them haven't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Good.
No, well, we got a lot of listeners.
Quirky, you know, the old post office down there. And
it's a gritty space.
It's the gritty kind of a space. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Alternative kind of a space. You know what? Here, I'll do a cover song. You said it. 3 minutes. Okay, good. I'll pull short. Okay. It's a medley, so I can kind of jump to the
All
end.
Right.
This is a medley of austerity Beatles songs. This is the thing that happened on Twitter where people would suggest Beatles titles but altered to meet the new austere economic times.
Oh, great.
That was the joke. Here's my medley. Don't size me down. Don't size me down. Say it's your birthday, we have that in common. You say it's your birthday, I bought you some ramen. Hey, you've been denied your 401k. Can't you see you're really only very small, and life will end with insurance or without it. Oh,
what can be said. Baby's in black and I'm in the red. Yeah, I'm over my head. Your day breaks, your checks bounce. You make a call and try to borrow from your parents who no longer feed you. Try to see it my way, even though you've occupied this cubicle so long. Time to hit the highway. If you stick around, you'll find your job will soon be gone. We can source it out. We can source it out. But I got to admit, it's getting better. No, it isn't. Baby, you, I live in my car. An 87 Aerostar. Baby, I live in my car. How am I gonna love you? She came in through the bathroom window because she did not have a key. Though you might call her a squatter, well, I knew she just had to pee. And in the end, how much you make is equal to how much you take in the end.
I pulled it in on time.
How you pulled that? It in on time. Okay. Yeah, right. There's probably more to that, I presume.
Yes, and so much less.
Well, that's a test, I imagine, of people who are really up on the Beatles, which songs they were.
People said, you know, Lucy in the Sky with Cubit Zirconium. And, you know, I Am the Walmart and that kind of thing. That was the
people
joke.
Said that, huh?
People made these comments on Twitter.
Oh, yes. They did?
Yes, and it kind of like floated off the bottom of the page really quickly because that's what happens on Twitter.
So this is a song can be found on YouTube?
I YouTubed it, sure.
Yeah, that's on there too. Well, if you want to check out Roy Zimmerman, you can go to your website.
RoyZimmerman.com.
And there's lots of CDs that one could buy.
Absolutely. And, of course, I'll have them with me tonight then, too, at the Independent Media Center.
As well you should. And then check out YouTube. Just look for Roy Zimmerman. Lots of videos there. And you can see if you really want to go out and see him tonight.
Thank you so much again for having me on.
My pleasure. 7:30 Independent Media Center. And this is Illinois Public Media, WYLL, FM, and HD1 and HD2 Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville.